this morning we have the fortune to be able to take the 8 IM precept. Every day we wake up and, you come here in the middle of retreat. Everything seems quite predictable, quite certain, the successions are this time and that time, and this time and that time. And we think we know exactly how the day is going to go. And even when we're not in retreat, we, have a very solid feeling of who we are and what's going to happen, and that we're in control of it all, and we know what's going on. And but just this fallacy that we have in our mind of predictability and stability, even in spite of what happened yesterday, we still feel the same today, don't we? That everything's predictable and everything's certain and we're in control and it's all manageable. And when we and nobody we know is going to die today. Yeah? Right, we still feel that. So we're slow learners. Aren't we? Even our own experience, even our own experience when it clobbers us over the head, has a hard time making inroads against the ignorance. And so, what we see so prominently in this particular situation is seeing the impermanent as permanent. And even forget subtle impermanence, the fact that things are changing moment by moment. But even gross impermanence, we don't even consider gross impermanence happening today, even though it's happening all the time. I mean, you're in the meditation hall and you're out of the meditation hall. That's impermanent, isn't it? Gross impermanence. You're here, then you're not here. But, still, something about our mortality doesn't even click. Yeah, in spite of seeing the gross impermanence of being in the hall and out of the hall, or the gross impermanence of the sun coming up and the sun going down. Yeah, or the temperature trying to come up and then going down. If in spite of, all this contact even with gross impermanence, still, we never think, oh, today something's going to happen, or, today I might die. Or for that matter, any day, sometime, I'm going to die. We never even think about that. Forget about today. And it's just so clear how this layer of impermanence completely covers the mind and lulls us into a false sense of security. And then, occasionally you get jolted out of it for about an hour or two, and then we go right back in, And yet I think those times when we're jolted are quite valuable, and, if we use those times and try and increase, that awareness of how we felt then. Jan was saying yesterday that she felt everything was quite surreal. And I was thinking about that. Yeah, feels surreal, but what does real feel like? Well, real feels like what we're feeling. But what does real mean? What's our notion of real? And it seems like in our notion of real, it's just, this acceptance that there's this big me, that I'm here, and everything I see is real, and I'm in control, and it's all predictable, and just some real big sort of hallucination. So I think it's good to use these times to start to question, well, what is our notion of how things exist? What is our notion of reality? So it's a good time to kind of question these things and how we our assumption about how things exist, our assumption about how we think life is going, our assumption about what we think our abilities in all of this are, and our assumptions about, just what it's all about. And have you ever considered that when you die, in your perception, none of this is going to be here? You know, what seems so real to you, like if we die tonight, you know, that all of what you're experiencing is going to be totally gone. You know, it's not like you're going to be somewhere else, you know, kind of looking on everybody else in the meditation hall. Yeah. But when our, you know, when we leave these aggregates, then, I mean, it's finished. It's gone. And everything we're trying to build up here, everything we're trying to become, all the ways in which we try and make ourselves and everything we touch concrete, is just, you know, it's like the mist, you know, on a mirror. The mist just goes poof and it's gone. Yeah. And so we might be trying to leave our legacy. We all have this same kind of idea of, you know, I want to leave my mark on the world. I want to leave a legacy. Because if other people remember me, then somehow my life will be worthwhile. Yeah. So I think lots of times people have children for that reason. At least, okay, I left my legacy. There's, you know, somebody who looks something like me or is supposed to, you know, or, you know, whatever we consider our mark on the world, and then we think, oh, people will remember us afterwards, and that means that somehow our life will have been worthwhile. But, you know, the people that we're counting on remembering us, they're going to die too. Yeah, I mean, for sure, in at the most, like 80 years, we're all going to be gone. And, yeah, and then all the people who we think are going to remember us, you know, give another 200 years, they're going to be gone. I mean, think of let's say, your great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents. Yeah, do you even know their names? I mean, here were these beings with whole lives, you know, who were born and kids and adults and had all these experiences. I don't even have a clue. I know the name of one of my great-grandparents, and that's it. And I only know her name because I was named after her. Yeah. I don't even know her last name, come to think of it. Oh, some big, long Polish name that they changed once they came to America. I don't even know what it was. Yeah. But if we think about that, now that all the people we're trying to make an impression on, or all the people we're counting on remembering us and praising us and everything, they're all going to be gone too. Yeah. So forget, you know, any scrapbooks with our pictures in it that people are going to look in and go, oh, there he was, there she was, they were like this, blah, 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 blah. I mean, all that stuff's going to get thrown out. Yeah. I don't know if they'll see some picture of the retreat. They'll go, one of them was my great-grandparents, but I don't know which one. You know? Maybe it was that one. I don't know, it was related to one of them. So, you know, completely everything that was some kind of heritage or legacy, you know, gone out the window. Not even remember our name. And meanwhile, even if people here remembered us, we're not going to be here to enjoy it. Yeah. sometimes there's this idea in the back of our mind, well, when I die, then they'll finally appreciate me because I won't be there. Okay. They'll finally appreciate me. They'll finally realize how much they love me. Yeah. Finally, they're going to realize that they love me. They're going to love me. And you know what? We're not going to be around to enjoy it. They're not going to even be around. And who's to say they're finally going to realize that either? Yes. But we're not going to be around at all. We're going to be off having our own experience. Well, and who knows what in the world that's going to be. But whatever our experience at that time is, it's going to seem just as real to us as the experience here seems. You know? Sometimes people, they go, well, where are the hell realms? Okay, where's the hungry ghost realm? Where are the God realms? We can't see them. As if knowing where they were would make them real. You know, or are those realms, are they real? Or are they just like a, you know, like dreaming? Kind of thinking, well, they must just be like a dream. But, you know, when you're born in them, they're as real as what this is. It's just we're born into this, and so we think this is real. And all those other rebirths are dreams. But when you're born there, you know, what you see around you and the other beings around you and all of that, it seems very real. And if somebody were to come talk to you about planet Earth, you'd go, planet Earth, where in the world is that? You know, never heard of it before. How do I know it exists? Where is it? And then maybe somebody takes out some telescope and they say, well, I don't know, but it's, you know, see that star way out there? You know, actually, that star doesn't exist anymore because it took 23 million light years for its light to come and reach us. So actually what we're seeing doesn't even exist anymore. But I heard planet Earth is somewhere circling around that star that doesn't even exist anymore. So maybe Earth doesn't exist anymore either because it took 23 million light years to get here. So even if our telescope were powerful enough to pick it up, it may not exist now at this very moment. And so to whoever, you know, were born then, this all seems like a big dream. And all of our friends and our relatives that are here, you know, we're born somewhere else. We're born the hell realm. We're born the God realm. You know, everybody we know here is like, who's that? You know? Why should I care about them? I'm not related to them. Oh, okay, they're part of all sentient beings. I guess I have compassion for them. You know, but somebody who you were so intricately involved with one day and was part of your life and so real and, you know, you cared about so much, then, you know, next day you're going somewhere else, then I don't have a clue who they are. Yeah? Not one clue. Yeah? They may be back here wailing, oh, you know? Even if you're a clairvoyant person, who's that person wailing like that? You know? Not even realizing it was somebody that we loved very dearly. Yeah. And so it is when we think of all sentient beings being our mother at one time or another in one of our lives. These beings were our mothers, and then we get born somewhere else, and they get born somewhere else, and we don't remember who we are. Yeah. We meet somebody that we think we're meeting them for the first time. You know, you see one of the deers that walks by, and oh, who's that stranger? Or wait until the ticks come. Wait a few months when the snow melts and the ticks come. Yeah? When you have this little guy is like crawling up your leg and you think, what's this guy doing crawling up my leg? You know, what's this guy? Yeah? And then maybe that was our mother. Well, it was our mother from one life or another. Yeah? What we look, it doesn't look like mom. Yeah. And we relate to it as a tick, and we care about it as a tick. And we don't recognize, oh, this is my mother, you know. This is the one who cared so much for me. No recognition at all. So similar, you know, to how we just meet each other in this life. We meet other beings in this life. And yet, here are all these beings who played a very important part in our life, in this life, even though it was for a brief moment, and in previous lives, have, you know, been very dear friends and relatives, and even our parents. So, I think it's good to take experiences like this and try and reflect on them and do something about the crust of our ignorance that makes us feel so real and so solid. And so, especially when we're taking precepts today, to really recall all these other mother sentient beings who we don't even remember are our mothers, who we don't even think about existing, who may exist in all sorts of realms that to us seem very unreal, just as our realm seems unreal to them. And to think of all of these beings and include them in our motivation, because we knew them in the past and they were kind to us, and we will meet them in the future and they will be kind to us. And so to aim for full enlightenment for their benefit.